I want to take a quick break from today's episode to ask if you knew your stress response is unique to you. Your hormones, your genetics, your lifestyle all play a role in how stress affects your body. My name is Mona Sharma, celebrity nutritionist, and that's why I created the Stress Personality Quiz, a simple, science-backed tool to help you understand your stress type and how to manage it. Go ahead and take the quiz now at monasharma.com/quiz. Welcome to Rooted in Wellness with me, wellness advocate and holistic nutritionist, Mona Sharma. Together, we will take a journey to discover natural healing practices from imbalance to balance, guided by ancient wisdom and modern scientific insights. I was raised living summers on an ashram, so I learned early on that food is medicine and your kitchen is your greatest source of healthcare and prevention. After facing two heart surgeries, anxiety, and weight challenges, I discovered that just because your symptoms are common doesn't mean that they are normal. Together with some incredible guests, we will explore the power of our mind, body, and soul connection, returning to our roots to rediscover our greatest well-being. Ever feel like you're doing all the right things for your health? Eating clean, staying active, managing stress, but something still feels off? The brain fog won't lift, your energy is all over the place, and you're just kind of meh? Well, today I'm chatting with the amazing Dr. Stephanie Van Watson, a brilliant veterinary epidemiologist and co-founder of Fatty 15, about a discovery that completely blew my mind. C15, the first essential fatty acid discovered in over 90 years. Oh, and here's the kicker. It all started with dolphins. Yep, dolphins. Stephanie shares the fascinating story of how studying dolphins led to the groundbreaking science that connects this missing piece in our diets to better energy, stronger cells, and even feeling more balanced and calm. If you've been stuck in the cycle of brain fog, bloating, or energy crashes, this episode is about to flip the script on how you think about your health and maybe even what you toss into your grocery cart. Her work has been featured everywhere and for good reason. Stephanie's research isn't just next level, it's a total game changer for anyone looking to live longer, feel stronger, and tap into the future of nature. I personally noticed and loved taking Fatty 15, and you're about to hear why. Let's dive in. Welcome, Stephanie Van Watson. You have a gorgeous name.
Oh, well, thank you,
Laura. Yeah, welcome to Rooted in Wellness. We're going to dive into everything Fatty 15 today. I've had my eyes on your brand for such a long time now, so it's like such an honor to have you here. But for background, how we typically start this episode is really identifying what it means to be rooted in wellness. So this podcast is all about feeling rooted in yourself, in your health, and also in your inner wisdom to heal. So do you have any practices that help you feel rooted in your life, in your body?
There are things that keep me rooted, that I feel rooted, and they might sound a little goofy, but like one is even just being at home with my family, Mona. Sitting on the couch under blankets is kind of like my optimal ideal of just being rooted. And I really think that more symbolically, right, is just remembering like what's most important to your life. And, you know, for me, being with my family and being at home is huge. Definitely with regard to as a scientist, being in and tapping into nature. And because I'm a super nerd, tapping into nature, are analyzing data that are coming from nature, but trying to figure out like what secrets it is that they have to unlock. That is like my harmonious zone. Wow. Is just being able to do that. So that's just kind of a quirky side for me. And then cooking. I think that, you know, the ability to, life gets pretty crazy, as you have known.
Yeah.
And that a lot of times you end up eating out a lot and doing, you know, things that aren't necessarily well grounded with earth.
Yeah.
And even just doing the simple things like in our kitchen, as far as cutting vegetables, the sound of cutting and the smells that come from those vegetables, that just, for whatever reason, that helps keep me rooted on just a general basis. And then, of course, eating helps you eat healthier too.
100%. Cooking as a family, I think, is a practice that we're just losing the wisdom behind it and the healing regard to it and the therapeutic aspect. So when you're at an ashram, they're playing really spiritual music in the background. They're blessing the food. There's laughter when you're cooking. They're infusing it with energy, right? It's like you take on energy from the food. So I love that you brought that up.
Yeah.
Okay. So on the flip side, I work with a lot of people who have these practices that might look like wellness practices, but they're checking them off their list every day, like meditation, check, breath work, check. They're not even dropping into the feeling of it in their bodies, or they just, you know, they give up. They've drifted so far away from feeling their best. Do you notice when you drift? What are some things that make you feel uprooted from your life and who you are?
I feel the most uprooted when I'm become obsessed with sticking to the schedule versus what's important.
Wait a second. As a scientist, don't you love a schedule?
Our military background, we're all about schedule. But I think that it's so easy to become consumed by the work schedule that we forget with regard to, and it very quickly uproots.
For sure.
Life and wellness, as you know, you've experienced and have been so smart to overcome. And so that's a big driver of just, and it's a constant reminder to myself of just saying, you know, being able to take a moment and reconnect and realize what it is that's the most important, because we only have so much time in life. So, you know, being able to keep that prioritized, but it is hard. It's a daily conscious effort.
It's pulling back, right?
Yeah.
And like just saying the words, how does it feel to live life on autopilot?
That's right.
Like, oh,
it's terrible.
It feels gross. Yeah, there's so much beauty we've got to pull back and look up. So I love that you brought that up. No one's actually said that, because I think so many people in the Western world really thrive on a schedule.
Right.
And what's funny is at the ashram, they use a daily schedule to the point where it feels like torture. You do the same things at the same time every single day. However, there's also time that is scheduled for giving, for study, for purpose, for being, right?
It's love just that.
That's part of it.
Yeah.
Yeah. All right. So something that I love about Fatty 15, not only the incredible science behind it, the fact that this is a supplement that's derived from the incredible wisdom of nature, but now that I understand more about you guys as a brand, is that you are so mission driven. Like, this isn't just a new fad supplement that we are seeing online. There's literally a mission and a book behind it. So let's dive in. C15, the first essential fatty acid to be discovered in over 90 years. Isn't that crazy?
It's crazy.
So share a little bit about your journey. So, and how you got into health and nutrition, and why did you become so interested in omegas?
Right. So this whole thing was an accident, right? Which is amazing. And so I'm a veterinary epidemiologist and was working for the World Health Organization, CDC, and I was recruited by the Navy about 20 years ago to help look for patterns of health and wellness in older dolphins in San Diego. And I thought, well, gosh, that would be incredible to do. And my focus at the time when I was working at the CDC was really on infectious disease. It wasn't looking at long-term wellness. And it was really because of the dolphins that basically evolved into this, you know, a passion for long-term health and was whole body wellness. And so was brought over to the Navy. They've taken care of this population of about 100 bottlenose dolphins for over 60 years. They live in the open ocean. They live in San Diego Bay. When I first went there, I didn't know how I'd feel about dolphins in the Navy. Yeah. And, you know, when I went there, I'm like, they live in the open ocean. They live up to 60 years old. When in the wild, the average age is 20. Of average duration of life is 20 years. So they live 2 to 3 times longer at the Navy. And they reproduce. They do all the things that a healthy population should do. And as they were getting older, we were realizing that about 1 in 3 of these older dolphins were looking like aging in us. So which includes high cholesterol, chronic inflammation, fatty liver disease, even Alzheimer's disease.
How?
Isn't that crazy? Exactly. So all they eat are fish.
Exactly.
And they exercise and they're not eating ultra processed foods. And that question that you just asked, look on your face, right? That's exactly what was coming from the human health world. And so while my primary job was to take care of the dolphins, it incited this question from the human health community of like, how is this happening in dolphins? Mm-hmm. Because it's not being attributed to a lot of the things that we attribute, you know, these chronic health conditions in humans. So we were very lucky in which we're able to use this advanced technology called metabolomics. And we're able to look at thousands of small molecules present in their blood, their archived serum throughout their whole life, as well as their all-fish diet, to figure out which small molecules predicted the healthiest aging dolphins. Mm-hmm. And we thought for sure it was going to be omegas because all they eat are fish. And it ended up, it wasn't an omega, it was C15, this odd chain saturated fatty acid was the highest predictor of the healthiest aging dolphins. And that started this journey that's, you know, it's been 10 years in the making.
So what was it specific to their diets then where the C15 was so relevant?
Right. So what was that was fascinating was that, okay, all they eat are fish. But when we actually looked in, the dolphins have an option of 5 different types of fish. Mm-hmm. And it some of the fish had C15 in it and some did not. And so it was based upon the fish that the dolphins were being fed or what they were preferring created different populations with different C15 levels. So those who loved the mackerel and the herring had higher C15 levels, less likely to have these diseases. The ones with that ate the capelin and the squid had no C15 in it. So we actually kind of had this unknowingly different diets that could help very easily and cleanly point out which components of these diet choices, even among these 5 types of fish, helped in determine a healthy, slower aging dolphin versus a sicker, accelerated aging dolphin.
Incredible. I want that to go on the record because the resistance that I've had over 15 years in this work, the 3 things that I ask clients to eat more of, mackerel, herring, sardines.
No. No. You already knew this. You were done. This is just validation.
Validation. This is like the incredible aspect of modern day medicine, right? So here's something in nature that is incredibly bioavailable for these dolphins. Would you say, like, is it a modern day health problem that these dolphins now are then starting to get sick, just like us?
It's a great way to put it. So this showed up. We started seeing this syndrome pop up where it was this, you know, insulin resistance, fatty liver disease, metabolic syndrome that we're seeing, like you're saying, at the same time, we're seeing this increase in people. And it
How does a dolphin have metabolic syndrome?
Exactly. So that they are, and that was the question. And so that's where we learned that nutritional C15 deficiencies are causing metabolic syndrome. So a couple of months ago, we published what's called cellular fragility syndrome, the first nutritional deficiency syndrome to be discovered in 75 years, that now is, we published being, which is also relevant to people, in which we're seeing the same combination of changes happening in people that are, there's a subset, we think as many as 1 in 3 of us have C15 deficiencies, which are resulting in the cellular fragility syndrome, which then leads to this, you know, whole combination metabolic syndrome, fatty liver disease. Fatty liver disease didn't exist. A non-alcoholic fatty liver disease or MASLD. They're going through a rebranding with the name. But fatty liver disease, non-alcoholic, the first 30 cases were identified by Mayo Clinic in 1980. Today, 1 in 3 people globally have the disease. It popped up in the dolphins at the same time. So,
And these are diseases, too, where, like, in seemingly healthy people from the outside, they're now showing up, like, metabolic dysfunction, fatty liver for people who are non-alcohol drinkers, even, right?
That is exactly right. And it's showing up in 1 in 3 people who have fatty liver disease are thin. In fact, it's the people who are thin that have this disease are more likely to have the most aggressive forms of this disease, in part because doctors aren't looking for it, right? Because there are certain things that they're looking for people who have heavier weight. They're not looking for it people who are thin.
So can people test for this?
They can. So they can. So with regard to fatty liver disease, it's usually caught from standard panels of, CBC and chems, but liver function tests. And they'll typically, the first thing they'll see is in high ALT, AST, and GGT. For cellular fragility syndrome, you take a step back even further. Our cells are, all of our cells, we're made of cells, right? Completely. Every one of our cells are protected by the cell membrane, and the cell membrane is made of fatty acids, of lipids. And what we've learned is that our cells, whether you're a dolphin or a mouse or a human, that we need at least 0.2% of the fat in the cell membranes to be C15. Mm. C15 is a sturdy fatty acid that literally serves as bricks, like armor in our cells, that helps keep them resilient and strong. If we have too little of it, our cells become fragile, become weak, sets up lipid peroxidation, chronic inflammation, and in fact, an entirely new form of cell death called ferroptosis, which was discovered by Columbia University back in 2012. 10,000 papers written, Mona, on ferroptosis. Nobody's been able to explain what causes it until now. And now we're realizing C15 deficiencies are the driver for this syndrome.
So, you know, there's been a focus on omega-3 fatty acids for so long. And I think there's probably like, what, hundreds of thousands of studies that are done on how it lowers oxidative stress, lowers inflammation, benefits for brain health and brain function. So we see the similarities. You're talking about the changes that have happened in the modern world. Where did we originally get C15 from as humans?
Yeah, it's a really important question. So for us, our primary source of C15 is dairy fat. So, you know, when you look at, you know, diets that we're supposed to have, like we need to go back, it's whole dairy fat that is by far our primary source of C15. It's such a reliable source that C15's been used for decades as a measurement of how much dairy fat we eat. Nobody knew it was active, not only active, but essential, right? Meeting these rare criteria of a nutrient that our bodies must have to stay healthy. But then what did we do? We took whole fat milk out of non-fat. Our diet. Yes, we moved to non-fat in 1977, and it was dietary recommendations that came from Congress for all Americans. And they said the best way to decrease those saturated fats are to stop drinking whole fat milk and stop eating butter. And then we doubled down on it in the 1990s for then the pediatric associations, again, with good intent, then moved to including children, infants, and saying that, you know, once they're 2 years old, they should move off of whole fat milk. And so we need to learn as the science comes out, and it is now indisputable that C15 is a healthy fat that we need. Our discovery of essential fatty acid was back in 2020, but wonderfully, independent teams in Canada and now France have independently evaluated and restated that indeed this is the first essential fatty acid found in 90 years. So
incredible. And I think you said learning, but also unlearning. So yeah, even at my kid's school, the only milk that's offered is non-fat, non-organic milk. So basically sugar water with, you know, hormones that they're feeding kids every single morning, which is terrible. And I was laughing earlier because coming from my dad's Indian background, it would be a joke growing up because he thought if you added milk to anything that he was making it healthier. And I wonder where that comes from, since milk is such a big part of an Ayurvedic lifestyle also.
Exactly. For good reason.
For good reason. But this isn't to say today that we should all go out and start, you know, pounding gallons of milk, right? Because the quality of the milk that we're drinking today is very different than what our mothers and grandmothers had access to. So this is where supplementing is really key. And I think something that's important to point out is you said C15 deficiency. If it's a deficiency, deficiencies can be healed.
That's right.
Right?
That is right.
Like other vitamin and minerals and stuff like that. So to go back to the question though, like if you want to see if I have a C15 deficiency, is there a specific lab that I can go and get on an omega panel?
There is. Maybe? So C15 is increasingly included in fatty acid panels, which are typically like omega panels.
Yeah.
So when you go get tested or you have, you know, people get tested, just check and make sure that the fatty acid panel includes C15 in it, because there are ones available now. And then we partnered with Genova Diagnostics, and there's an at-home blood spot test that people can get their C15 levels measured, which is really helpful. So I used that one to measure my C15 levels. And so it's a good tool to be able to understand where are we at and are we deficient?
Yeah.
And then to be able to at least get to where our cells can be restabilized, and which we know then will slow our biological aging and get us back on track. And then the Navy invested 10 years of research funding to say, can you isolate this ingredient and optimize it so that then we can actually leverage its longevity enhancing benefits, what it's all meant to do from nature, so that it can be even better at doing the job it does. And a big part of that is because in milk and dairy fat, even though I do think children, the best way for children to get C15 is get at least getting back to having them getting whole fat milk. But you're making a really good point, Mona, where agricultural practices have changed.
Just have to be careful, yeah.
We know that cows fed grass have twice as much C15 in their milk than cows fed corn. Mm. We don't necessarily know what cows were fed. And so there's a lot of things outside of our control. But as we get older, if, again, we look back at nature, all mammalian babies drink milk, but as they become adults, they don't keep drinking milk. Mm-hmm. So I think it leans into that dairy fat has 400 different fatty acids in it. Only 1% of those fatty acids is C15. And over 40% of the fatty acids in there are pro-inflammatory fats, which is a good for a short term, but for taking for what we hope to be 100 plus years of life, a big reason why the Navy said, gosh, can we find a way to optimize this so we can leverage C15, the power of nature C15 throughout our entire lives.
Incredible. It's funny, just the timing of this conversation. I was off dairy for a really long time. Now I'm understanding just from like a gut health perspective, eliminating massive food categories isn't always the best thing for us. So I brought a little dairy back in. And me personally, I haven't felt any different side effects or anything. So, you know, I would say avoid being a creature of habit. To that point though, when I'm at the grocery store, I will only see one, maybe two brands that will say grass-fed organic milk. Right?
Feed that. Yeah.
And it's like, if it's not a declaration on the other ones, you've got to look into the source, where it comes from before you start consuming. And obviously, a lot of people, the majority of the population as adults, they might not be able to digest dairy or lactose properly anyway. So this is where supplementing would be so essential. So what are you seeing as the key benefits from the studies that you've done, the science that you have? Have you done clinical studies?
We have.
Yeah. What are you seeing?
Which is great. Or I should say, more importantly, others have independently. So, once we made that initial discovery, which was association, right, in the dolphins of better health, we were seeing the same picture was coming out in people. So people with higher C15 levels, lower risk, and these are giant studies, like thousands of people followed over decades. Higher C15, lower risk of developing type 2 diabetes, fatty liver disease, heart disease, and even certain types of cancers. So that association was shared between the dolphins and people. So then we moved pure C15 into the lab. We worked with Dr. Ed Dennis, who was head of editor-in-chief for the Journal for Lipid Research for 15 years. So like the expert, right? And we took this hypothesis to Ed, and he's like, Steph, chances are the whole fatty acid world didn't miss this discovery. And like a dolphin veterinarian came along. And so because C15's been known since the 1950s. But he's like, the dolphin angle is interesting. So here are the studies, you know, that should be done. And so we did those studies. And as with each study, it's like, is it bioactive? Is it safe? Are the concentrations those that match what we should have in our body? Is it bioavailable? All of these things. And it just kept passing every test. And at the end of those studies, we realized that C15 does a lot of things. It's called a pleiotropic molecule. Mm. So it means it's another word is promiscuous. So it gets around, does a lot of really good things. So it strengthens our cell membrane. It has no double bonds. So it's particularly resistant to oxidation. So that's a big role. It also activates specific receptors like PPAR alpha delta, AMPK, which is at the heart of the longevity pathway and helps with glucose control, AKT. It inhibits mTOR.
Wow.
And it inhibits JAK-STAT. So, right. So these are really impressive mechanisms of action that it has and then we were also able to show that it repairs mitochondrial function. It has this way of basically skipping over the part of where mitochondria breaks down. So the long story short being, it as an essential fatty acid, it plays a really important role in doing a lot of things that then translate to like things that we care about. So again, slowing our biological aging at the cellular level. And the result is, given all these activities, is it taps into the longevity pathway to truly, it's meant to extend and preserve the length of our health for as long as possible. The results that people see long-term is that we see improved metabolic health. So with regard to being able to, again, which makes sense from AMPK, improved glucose control, decreased insulin resistance, and decreased cholesterol and inflammation. When we started looking at this in the lab, helping with fatty liver disease, decreasing, improving cellular stability, but also decreasing fibrosis in the liver and, really remarkable functions. That then moved to Jeff Schwimmer, Dr. Jeff Schwimmer. He's the leading physician for kids with fatty liver disease. And
oh my gosh,
Jeff read our paper in Dolphins talking about dolphins having fatty liver disease. And Jeff reached out and he's like, I don't think it's the same disease, but interesting. He's like, send me some liver samples like that you have archived. And so we did. Jeff looked at the liver samples and he sent an email back and he's like, we are a go. He goes, this is the exact same disease as I'm seeing in the kids. And he's like, what is going on? It's not sugar. It's not like for the dolphins. Right. Like, yeah. So we were together. We've been working independently over the past 10 years where then he showed kids with higher C15 have less fat in their liver. And that then led to a clinical trial where he gave young adults, graduates from his pediatric patients who have a history of fatty liver disease. He gave them fatty 15 for 12 weeks. And he was able to show that if we got them up and over this critical threshold of being not C15 deficient.
Yeah.
So importantly, 2 out of 3 of the participants at the beginning were C15 deficient, got them up and over not being C15 deficient. They had stronger red blood cells, which we're anticipating, so stronger cells, and importantly, lower ALT and AST. So it was lowering their liver enzymes.
Yeah.
So now Jeff is, you know, he's on helping to lead. He's like, just like you were saying, Mona, like if a large subset of people with this syndrome is because of a deficiency, the upside of it is fixable.
Yeah.
And that's our urgency. It's how do we get C15 back? Through agricultural practices,
right.
Through a lot of different ways, which includes supplementation, it's part of the solution.
I couldn't agree more. I think what's important about everything you just said is this goes far beyond the omega conversation. Like you just listed the top alarming rises in disease and inflammatory markers within the body that are causing us to age faster and get disease prematurely. So this is a way, way, way bigger conversation than that. To bring it back in to really focus on that though, you know, how can we tie fatty 15 then with omega-3? Should one supplement with one versus the other? And maybe before we do that, I think people understand the concept, oh yeah, omega-3s are good for you. But I think we're at a point in history where they're so crucial because of our modern day diet, right? Mm. So in Ayurveda, we believe in a balance in omega-3, 6, right. And 9, as there should be, right? But you and I both know that when we're looking at people's labs, they're out of balance.
Yeah.
People tend to be way higher in omega-6 and omega-9. Arachidonic acid also, which is fueling inflammation, fueling aging also. So in a world where we can't just go out, no one should buy an omega-3 fatty acid from a Costco or a drugstore because chances are they're garbage. The quality is really, really low. They could be rancid also. We have to think about the oceans also. But in a world where, you know, we know about omega-3s, how does fatty 15 fit into the omega-3 conversation and the ratios that we need to optimize?
Yeah, this is a really good conversation. So when we talk about omega-3s, that they are essential, right? Especially alpha-linolenic acid, but that feeds into DHA and EPA, the ones that we know well, and not everybody's good at converting that ALA into right. EPA. So getting that is important. So getting all three of them are important. Omega-3s are polyunsaturated fatty acids. And so this means that, if we nerd out just a little bit, that their chemical structure means that they have double bonds. Anything that's unsaturated has a double bond. A polyunsaturated has multiple double bonds. And double bonds are great because they help with flexibility. And it's why their oils at room temperature, it helps make our cell membranes flexible. C15 is like the yin and yang of the fatty acid world. So where there's an odd chain saturated fatty acid, where their job is to have no double bonds and their job is all about resilience and helping cells be stronger. So just like you said, that there is a balance that's needed between having the oil, you know, ones with the double bonds, polyunsaturated with the saturated in our cell membrane so that they're flexible and resilient. Mm. So there's also a balance issue with regard to C15 and odd chain versus even chain saturated fatty acids. So C16, C18, opposite, pro-inflammatory, associated with higher risk of type 2 diabetes, fatty liver disease, heart disease, and they're present at much, much higher levels, like we talked about in foods. So one of our calls to action is to be able to understand what's a ratio that we could get, what's the ideal ratio we can get, and what foods have where there's a C15, kind of like you have your omega-6 to omega-3, you have your C16 to C15 ratio, where you want to get that C15 up as high as possible
Right.
You know, because you have the same thing, pro-inflammatory, anti-inflammatory fatty acids. So, yeah, so we need, so this discovery of C15 as an essential fatty acid, it'd be like saying we discovered vitamin A, we wouldn't say stop taking vitamin C, right? So getting your fatty acids, all of your essential fatty acids are important. And Mona, your point with regard to the quality, right?
Let's go there. Is
important. And it's because, just like you said, studies repeatedly show that at least half of the supplements on the shelf, omega-3 supplements, have gone bad, that they have measurable lipid peroxidation and rancidity. That is not the fault of the manufacturers. It is super fragile molecule, and it's fish oil, yeah. Right? And that is a big reason why when we developed this with the Navy, we could have put butter in a capsule and called it a C15 supplement, yeah. But we didn't do that. It's like, let's take the pure ingredient, because all of these studies that we talked about is with pure C15, which is a free fatty acid, is bioavailable. It, because it's saturated, doesn't go bad. It's a powder, and so it's stable. It's just a lot harder to do with our omegas. And so the limitation is coming from nature.
Yeah.
But ensuring that you have the absolute highest quality is really important.
I love that you said that. So I've been taking Fatty 15 for almost about a month now. I didn't stop my omega-3 just because I talk about the importance of them every day. And in conversation with my clients, would I love people to be eating a fatty fish 3 times a week? Yes. If they lived in Alaska, it would probably be a lot better.
Right.
The quality of the fish that we're getting today, you know, from mercury levels and the plastics in our ocean and stuff like that, I don't know that eating more fish is necessarily a cure anymore. So then we go to omega-3 supplementation and some, you know, omega-3 rich foods from flax and chia and stuff like that. And it's really hard to get quality supplements, and you have to consider the rancidity. And it's not a type of supplement that I would buy in bulk to have sit and oxidize on my shelf long term either. It's funny enough, omega-3 was the first supplement, air quotes, that my mom started giving me as a kid though. So when she caught on to the benefits of omega-3 for her rheumatoid arthritis, and she knew as a kid I wasn't eating a lot of fish, she had this lemon-flavored, you know, omega-3 Arctic. Right. Yeah, so that's my association with it always. But I'm a big fan then, just merging the science from Fatty 15 and everything that you've mentioned with high-quality omega-3 fatty acids and the benefits that we all need. We live in an inflammatory world. And specifically for longevity now, you know, you mentioned mTOR. Dr. David Sinclair talks a lot about this through fasting. A lot of people have a hard time fasting.
Oh, yeah.
Right? Or doing other modalities that are going to help with their longevity. So fascinating studies. And do you feel like now, obviously, you guys are getting a lot of eyes on Fatty 15 and the C15 molecule. I'm assuming there'll be more clinical studies, more data that you'll have relevant to make more accessible.
Yeah, absolutely. And so what's been great is that since, you know, so first there were all these studies coming out with association of humans and C15 better health. At the same time, we were coming out with the dolphin discoveries. And then over the past 10 years, really it's just been influx of people, of prestigious research teams all over the world have been working with C15. So at discoverc15.com is where all the peer reviews. So there are over 100 peer-reviewed studies now from teams throughout the world demonstrating C15's health benefits. Mm-hmm. And so that's where the joy has really come from, because making a discovery is great, but it doesn't hold other people have done the work independently of you. And in fact, purposely skeptical and skilled, do the work and publish their results, whatever they are, and let the story roll out and fold out over the years. And what's happened over the past 10 years is just an extraordinary amount of literature supporting this really as a molecule we need to be able to support our long-term health. So studies are there. There was another clinical trial that was done in Singapore that was with women with fatty liver disease. It showed it lowered LDL cholesterol. It improved the gut microbiome. So as far as increased growth of Bifidobacterium adolescentis, which that microbe itself has been shown to extend longevity in worms. So we'll take that with a grain of salt, you know, extended by 12 days, like it's double the lifespan of a worm. So, but really important studies on the longevity front, being able to show like things like people with a higher C15 have when you use these epigenetic clocks. Again, this is a completely independent team showing that people with higher C15 have slower, have a younger biological age than their chronological age. So when you put all the pieces together, that's why Dr. Nick Shork, who's head of NIH's Longevity Consortium, and he's been doing that for 15 years, he's like, I've seen every longevity molecule under the sun. And he's like, there's nothing that has as much data and support to support our longevity than C15. So it's been validating, right, and helpful to really, our job is to follow the data, and the data just keep pointing to, we just all listen to nature. Yeah. Thank you, dolphins. And, you know, and what's wonderful is by helping dolphins is how we made this discovery. And that it just, you know, it's just, it's wonderful saying that we should be doing more of that, like helping other species. And as we're helping out different components of Earth, whether they're plants or animals, that we have an opportunity to learn from them and give back to them, which is wonderful.
I pray the future of medicine continues to look to nature to heal. We already get so many drugs sourced from nature itself, right? So if we just like pull back a little bit more into all of the other healing aspects, that's my dream job. Let's declare that's my dream job.
I love it. Done. Check.
Yeah, exactly. Next. Let's take a quick break to talk about something that's made a huge difference in my skin health lately, a product called One Skin. If you're like me, always on the hunt for a wellness solution for optimizing your skin's health and longevity, you need to hear about this one. Most skincare products focus on surface-level results, but One Skin goes way deeper, working at a cellular level for lasting results. Their amazing all-woman team of skin longevity scientists developed OS1 after testing over 900 peptides. It's the first ingredient scientifically proven to interrupt cellular senescence, a core aging process. As we age and get exposed to UV rays, our skin cells enter senescence. They stop rejuvenating and producing collagen and elastin like they should. And even worse, they release harmful inflammatory chemicals and cause neighboring cells to become dysfunctional too. It's like a domino effect that makes our skin age faster with deeper wrinkles, thinning, and sagging, what we all want to avoid. But OneSkin's OS1 switches off these senescent cells, getting to the root cause of skin aging. It helps our skin stay younger and healthier. And since skin is our body's largest organ, the health of our skin is absolutely critical to our overall health. That's why I personally love OneSkin. I've noticed a real difference in the resilience and youthfulness of my skin since using it regularly. As a Rooted in Wellness listener, you can get 15% off your first order with code MONA at oneskin.co/MONA. I really believe OneSkin is something that can benefit all of us on our journey to optimal skin, wellness, longevity, and just aging, feeling our best. Definitely check it out and see the difference it can make for you. Remember, go to oneskin.co/MONA. That's oneskin.co/MONA. Use code MONA for 15% off. Trust me, your skin will thank you. I want to take a quick break from today's episode to ask if you knew your stress response is unique to you. Your hormones, your genetics, your lifestyle all play a role in how stress affects your body. My name is Mona Sharma, celebrity nutritionist, and that's why I created the Stress Personality Quiz, a simple, science-backed tool to help you understand your stress type and how to manage it. Go ahead and take the quiz now at monasharma.com/quiz. Personally, as a woman, I'd love to hear, like, how have you felt since taking it? Did you notice any physical changes?
Yeah, so long term, so I am seeing, like, yeah, my blood values are awesome, are fantastic, which is great. And I do attribute a lot of that to fatty 15. That was not always the norm. And so it's doing what it should be doing long term. What was a surprise, Mona, is when I first started taking it within the first few weeks, I had a calmer mood. I was sleeping deeper. I had less appetite in between meals, and my joint pain went away. And I was like, strange. I'm like, this has got to be a placebo effect. And we started seeing that our customers were reporting the same thing. And so We launched in 2021. We've had over, so today we have over 85,000 active subscribers. And reliably, when we ask people at week two, are you feeling any benefits? Reliably, it's kind of that combination of benefits that half of people report. So then we're like, okay, what's happening here? So we actually, you know, the research has continued this whole time. So we went back to the dolphins and the data, and we found a second molecule. So, you know, when we looked at molecules that were predicting healthy aging dolphins, C15 was at the top, but there were 100.
Right.
There's a lot, right, still to be discovered. But when we went back, we saw another one that was really high on the list. It had C15 in it. And so it's a metabolite. So our bodies take C15, use it to make the second molecule called pentadecanoyl carnitine. We'll call it PDC. Mm-hmm. And PDC, when we put that to the test, it ends up being the second ever discovered full-acting endocannabinoid. So it fully activates CB1 and CB2, only the second. So our bodies were, you know, you think about, we have these receptors in our body, not for marijuana. Like, that's not why we have them, because dogs have them.
I don't think I'm seeing any dogs getting
edibles or anything like that. But we have them, and the endocannabinoid system plays such an important role in whole body balance and homeostasis and sleep and pain management, all of those things. And Jeff's study also showed that when people took more fatty 15, that their PDC levels increased. So then we're like, okay, now this is making sense. And that may differ. Our genetics don't drive for the most part, because it's an essential fatty acid. Almost all of us can use and put C15 to work.
Right.
But it may be that genetics may differ upon how well people can make PDC.
Right.
So anyway, that was, for me, those were the, we call them delights and surprises. We don't encourage, like, we don't say take fatty 15 to sleep deeper.
Right.
But boy, when people take it and they sleep deeper, they're thrilled, which is why our retention rates are just unheard of in the supplement industry. And I think it's just a big part of it is it's really something we're meant to have. It is a pure molecule. You know exactly what you're getting. It's the exact same molecule that are doing all these tests. It's just much more likely to go to work and provide these delights and surprises.
Yeah. I never even considered that. So as a woman, for women listening, we know typically week three, week four of our cycle, there might be some disruptions with our sleep, especially in the later perimenopause, menopause years. I looked at my sleep score this morning, when typically there would be a big drop, and I had an hour and 51 minutes of REM last night an hour and 20 of deep. This is like unheard of for me. I don't know the direct correlation, but I'm smiling ear to ear, because this is the only thing in addition that I brought on like that could be different. But when this airs, I will definitely post a panel with my C15 markers and the changes, because that is just fascinating.
Yeah.
And to think about, like, you've covered so many topics. If we can take a supplement, and I always say, like, try to tune into your body and how you see and feel the shifts. Obviously, you've been so hyper-focused on this, but if someone's going to really tune into doing this or using this as a supplement, tune into the feelings of your body, the symptoms that you have, the subtle shifts. I think people really look for alarming changes, like, I didn't feel a difference. Instead, it's the subtle changes over time as you rebuild your numbers that you might feel something that's a little bit more personalized.
That's right. Yeah, that's absolutely right. Yeah.
So from my understanding then, you know, we mentioned that C15 and omega-3s are extremely beneficial. Would you say there's any other supplements that are cofactors for C15? Is there anything else that you're taking, even from a personal standpoint?
Yeah, fatty 15 is the only supplement I take. I do eat fish. But the questions that you have with regard to mercury and all of those things are really important. Mm-hmm. So that's my primary source of omegas. And I also have a hard time swallowing, like,
the pills and the fish.
I just couldn't do it. And then once I heard about it, as far as the quality, so I go to food sources as much as I can for omega-3s. I do think there are other supplements. I think it's what we're learning, and as we're engaging experts in the nutrition field and in fatty liver disease and aging, longevity, that we're all understanding that C15 is essential, is like a part of that stack, of that health stack that everybody needs. including kids, right? So we need to age healthfully from the very beginning.
Absolutely.
Right? And and then from there, we build from there. So I think it's really people trying things and seeing what works for them. And so I do think, like, even though C15 plays a role in mitochondrial repair, I do think that, you know, things that supplements that help with mitochondrial function are a big plus.
Yeah.
And I think the things that help with muscle, helping to ensure, you know, muscle buildup and things like creatine are also, you know, a good selection. But again, it's very, like you said, it's very personalized based upon what people need.
I love that you said that. Yeah, because we hear about so many things that, you know, there is the science to back it, but I think you really have to personalize it. I take a lot of supplements because one of my greatest goals is to be hiking with my kids when I'm, you know, 90, 100 years old, right? So longevity is a really important part of that. And mitochondrial function is a really important part of that. My gut health is a really, really important part of that. You brought up earlier the integrity of the cell membrane, though. How is that crucial to how we're feeling and how we're aging? Because that really appeals to every part of the body.
That's exactly right. And it's just like it just makes sense, right? So this is just entirely new area that's being appreciated with regard to cell strength. Like, we need our cell membranes to stay strong and fight off lipid peroxidation, because in the end, that's what takes us down. So the fact that we're this discovery of C15 and its primary role, along with all these other wonderful things, but probably the most important and unique, is that it literally strengthens our cell membranes. There's actually a theory, it's called the cell membrane pacemaker theory of aging, that was introduced by A.J. Holbert back in 2005. And what he showed, he's from Australia, and what he showed was that the longer a mammalian species longevity was, so he went from mice and walked away to dogs and cats and elephants, you know, people and elephants, and he looked at their fatty acids in their cell membranes, and he showed the more sturdy the fatty acids in their cell membranes dictated how long longevity in mammals.
Fascinating.
And he also showed that was directly correlated to how much lipid peroxidation they had in their bodies. So A.J. Holbert has already shown, like, you were like, gosh, how do we live longer? And I would happen to tap into longevity on longevity. Evolution has already figured it out. Like, how do humans live longer than mice in the first place? We live 37 times longer than a fellow mammal. Let's start there.
Yeah.
And then, like, optimize it from there. So it's really a lot of exciting work being done. And it just, we know that this is what it does. We know that it physically goes in there. It's such a simple mechanism that isn't like a kind of cross your fingers and hope and pray that it taps into this mechanism and works for you. Like, it's just something that every mammal, and even there are bacteria that leverage C15 to survive stronger.
Yeah, you're talking about cell integrity, and the only thing that I'm seeing is, we're thinking of, is the integrity of our gut lining, right? So if there's one cell that's protecting us from having a strong immune system and, you know, integrity to our gut function or our gut microbiome, I can only see the correlation between this and our gut microbiome.
Yeah.
And the more that more studies evolve based on gut microbiome and our energy, our mood, our digestion, our immune system, how we age, like...
Yeah, well, I'm so glad you brought that up, because whole other groups are looking at C15 and the gut. And just in the last 6 months, there have been 3 papers published looking at mouse models of inflammatory bowel disease and colitis and gastric ulceritis. And they're all finding that in these models that have leaky gut syndrome, so they have these just an impaired gut lining because the cells aren't healthy, that C15 improves and fixes the gut cell lining, and it stops leaky gut syndrome.
Wow.
And that can help explain, like, a lot of its benefits. And even more importantly, or just as importantly, is they're finding that not only does C15 help healthy gut microbacteria grow, like, you know, we talked about bifidobacterium, but a lot of healthy gut microbes that we've said, hey, if you have these gut microbes, you're healthier. They're finding that the reason why several of these bacteria, 3 of them so far, the reason why they're healthy is because they make C15.
Wow.
So they don't make enough to help us maintain, you know, the healthy levels, but there's this baseline background level that, so it's a crucial role. You're absolutely right that the gut is the heart of our health, right?
Yeah, I know. Literally, kind of talking about, like, ancients have known all along. I love that you brought that up. Are there specific foods that you avoid with everything that you know? Is there stuff that you cut out from your diet?
I try to avoid as much. I try to minimize sugars and minimize trans fats based upon, you know, those things. I don't shy away from cheese.
Yeah.
And I love my flat whites. In my coffee. So with whole fat milk.
50% of my clients just fell in love with you.
Yeah, Sardinia, where they have 3 times higher C15 levels than the rest of the world, the high longevity zone in Sardinia. And their C15 levels are so high because they have local goats and sheep, and they make they're grass fed. And it's mountainous grass, and mountainous grass actually results in animals having higher C15, which is amazing. And the cheeses they make are hard cheeses, and their cheese is Pecorino, and has 2 times higher C15 than others. So, you know, there are ways we can just again kind of tap into. We don't all live in high longevity. High altitude mountainous goats. But it means that if we went back to nature, the whole Sardinian culture is meant to survive in tougher times. And, you know, their diets reflect that.
These conversations are so powerful. So especially coming from a doctor with your lens, with the science, when we can relate all conversation around healing back to the sources of our food, and how if we take ownership over, maybe you're going to go out today and only buy grass-fed milk or grass-fed cheese or grass-fed, you know, animal products. By simply making that decision and being firm on it, we're sending a message to the food industry. The food industry automatically will have to source more grass-fed products. Those grass-fed animals then benefit from actually having a life outdoors the way that they should and optimizing their health. Like, it's this cyclical impact based on one decision. So I love that you brought that up.
Yeah. We have that power. And that's a big part of our movement, is just saying, even just having the dairy industry report the amount of C15 and C16 on their products, and it will drive demand. Will purchase it. Like you said, grass-fed will have higher C15 in it. So there are simple things we can do that can have an immediate benefit to us. And like you said, but also be able to ladder up to have big changes.
You got it.
Industry-wide.
It's part of a holistic decision. And another reason I asked that question too is because when something sounds so great and the science is there, it's like, wow, okay. But you cannot supplement your way out of a bad diet or a poor lifestyle.
That's right.
So, you know, making a decision to really focus on your health and longevity with high quality supplements that are science backed comes with the decision to also, you know, nourish yourself like you love yourself, heal your gut, be mindful of all the foundations of stress. And over, you know, I can just speak personally from all of my clients who maybe do an elimination from dairy, after they heal their gut, they can reincorporate dairy and they tend to be just fine. Or if it's the right type of dairy, right?
That's right.
Yeah.
That's right. That's amazing.
Yeah. And funny, my kids have never liked milk. Isn't that crazy?
It's mine too. We have a 16-year-old boy.
Yeah.
And a kid, as soon as he got past like 2,
right?
He's like, I'm done. Won't drink milk.
My kids will pick the cheese off pizza. It's the most bizarre things. Like, they're those kids at the party. And I grew up on milk. Like, my dad put milk, as I said, in everything. So, but they will do a really great grass-fed organic yogurt,
Lovely.
Right. Yeah, so they're getting dairy from some source, which, by the way, with yogurt also, I think I've only seen one brand that will say grass-fed on the front. So look out for that also. The source really, really matters. So that's amazing. How long does somebody typically take to see? I can imagine, like, you know, the quality of their digestive health really matters. But from your studies, how long can people expect to see a difference?
So we usually say 3 to 6 months. So we encourage people to go get your baseline blood labs.
I'm going to add this in.
Before you start, for sure. Right? Yeah. And then 3 to 6 months later, go back to your doctor and get your checkup.
Great.
And that after reliably taking, you know, fatty 15 every day. So, and that's where really people, not only do our customers come back and say, oh my gosh, like, here's my blood work, I'm so excited, but the doctors are like, what are you doing? And whatever it is, keep doing it. And that actually drove our healthcare provider program, was because physicians were seeing what was happening in their patients. And they're like, I've got to learn more. And so what a wonderful organic way, right, for it to be building out. And now we have, you know, lots of physicians now who are just seeing the benefits happen with their patients in the way that, again, just following the data and the cleanliness of the what the dolphins had to teach us, we just had to listen and pay attention.
That just gave me goosebumps. Witnessing nature and what we can learn from nature. Give me a sense of what you guys are expanding on. So you're so mission focused. This is a movement, ultimately, what I'm hearing from you today. What's in the works?
Yeah, this is absolutely a movement. So when we created the supplement with Fatty 15, we called it, like, at first we're like, are you crazy? Like, you're calling a supplement Fatty 15? We're like, we're owning it. Like, this is a mission. This is going to force a conversation around fats. Let's also evangelize and, like, neutralize the word fatty so it doesn't have to be a bad word. Like,
totally. It's a great word.
Right. And so it's a great word. So we started with that, but really it was the supplements meant to be an awareness tool to help understand, be able to talk about C15, to start talk about new changes in nutritional recommendations. USDA guidelines today, the active ones today, they say 161 times saturated fat and a negative of to avoid it, 161 times in a 165-page document. They're not wrong because there are bad saturated, but they're throwing out the baby with the bathwater. Yeah. And so we're trying to help force this discussion so that this movement can keep going. And like we said, recommendations with regard to C16 versus C15 ratios in our diets. How can we get it back, find the foods and put pressure on the industry for foods that have optimal C15 in them? So that's a big part of our movement. Our supplement, like we said, is part of it. And then also being able to get it as an ingredient back into the food supply. We're understanding that the amount of C15 a baby gets is dependent upon the amount of C15 mom has.
Yeah.
And if mom has less C15 in her milk, the less goes to baby. And that infant, the more C15 they get, the better their body growth, the better their brain development. There's a study in France showing that these kids who have higher C15 have better cognitive development at the ages of 3, 5, and 6. Most infant formulas have no C15 in it. And I mean, for me, I was at the mercy of infant formulas because, you know, I got about 3 solid months in, and then I tried really hard. And there was still part of it, but there was infant formula was part of, you know, Ben's life. And so being able to understand at the earliest stages how to get this. So all of this is part of it. And we're part of us having this conversation is a big part of this movement.
I think we have to get really loud about it. You know, there's this tendency for, you know, we don't want to be alarmist. A lot of people, they don't want to get angry because what does anger do? But getting angry is actually really important because what I see happening right now, even with the awareness on, you know, kids need good quality fats, the amount of processed foods that are in our children's diets today is through the roof. It is out of control. The level of inflammation and toxins that they're exposed to in a classroom at a school is higher than I've ever seen in history. So even if they were born with the right levels, I can imagine over time, if they're exposed to more of these inflammatory oxidative fats, then they're just going to get depleted anyways. So, you know, like anything else, you want to build that resiliency within the body and making sure that they've got it that's consistent from childhood to university and adulthood and beyond, which is why all parents need to know about this now. So I'm with you. Let's keep advocating. I'm so, impressed with everything. I was so excited to have you
Thanks,
on today.
Mona. Yeah. This has been great being here.
So to wrap things up, I would love to know, you know, we do some rapid fire questions. What are some of the most common mistakes or misconceptions that you see women making with their health?
I would say that not enough people, including especially us women, appreciate that you can be overfed and undernourished. Mm-hmm. And that sometimes when we talk about reducing calories, we need to realize we have to be very conscious of the nutrients that we're getting, the appropriate nutrients. And Ozempic is feeding into that story, right? Where eating less, you lose weight. But we really need to be very aware of making sure that we get the right nutrients, not just C15, but all these other essential, you know, amino acids, vitamins, because otherwise very quickly we're going to see issues, even vitamin C deficiency, scurvy's making a comeback, right? In kids. So it's like, let's not go backwards there. So I just think appreciation, not just of, oh, I'm eating too much of this, but also just being just as aware of what am I not getting enough of, and just increasing your awareness of all of those essential nutrients that are important.
I love that you brought that up. Sometimes we go to the grocery store, most times on autopilot. We might find a brand that we think is good, and all of a sudden, you know, the ingredients over time change. Maybe the company was purchased by someone else. I did an audit the other day, which I haven't done in a while, just on sugar. And the sugar that was added into things like yogurts or maybe a smoothie mix or a protein powder or whatever it is, and it adds up so quickly. Like before I even got to lunch, there was like 25, 30 grams of sugar that were added.
Yeah, so, and you're done.
And you're
like,
done.
That's it.
Like that's it.
Like you've already hit your what you're exactly. supposed to get. It's like your lunch.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah. So really own in on like looking at the ingredient labels because things change. And yeah, if you want to audit the nutritional profile that you're taking in, you got to look. What's one way that women are making health too complicated?
I think that we can get overwhelmed with all the things that we're supposed to be doing, and which is an active thought process. And I think that one thing that is easy to simplify that everyone could do today, right, is making sure that you just take time to just stop and be alone in silence in a room. Every day, not just before you go to bed, but that you carve that time out. And being in silence away from the screens and the phones and is, for me at least, is incredible. It's healing, but it also just helps my mind reset. And it's just, I know that you appreciate all of these things, right? Because, so silent, quiet time, but for yourself.
I love that. Really, I think a lot of us have the answers within us. We just don't know how to listen.
That is right. And when you do that, the right things, the important things really start, and you learn how to practice it, you know, the right things really start popping into mind. So,
do you have an ancient recipe that you love? Is there something that's nourishing for you?
Yeah, hot baths.
Yeah.
That's in like... That is a critical essential. And when you go back and you look at the history of hot springs and hot baths and how they're used for remedies, like going thousands of years back, it's still something that I personally feel and is critical essential. We lost our tub for a couple of months because of home, fixing up the home. And I felt it. Like it just allows me to calm down, but it also allows, you know, blood circulation. And I won't go into the details of all of the different components, but for me, that is an ancient healing therapy that works for me.
I literally said this to a client yesterday. I said, have you ever thought that your bathtub, filling it with water, is you literally stepping into one of nature's elements to have her hold you?
A great way to put it.
Like if we pull back a little bit, that's exactly what water is, whether it's the ocean or a lake or a stream or your bathtub. It's the same thing. If you had to pick something about modern medicine that excites you, what would it be?
The use of modern technologies, like, you know, we talked about metabolomics, it's all endolphins, the use of modern technologies and advanced technologies that have been traditionally used for drug development and discovery are now being used increasingly in nature. And so that, I think there is no way that our discovery of the first essential fatty acid in 90 years, that means that, oh, and it was found and there's not going to be another one.
Right.
The technologies are here now that I think this is the beginning of a renaissance of new nutritional discoveries that let's leverage these advancements to be able to like turn ourselves back to nature and figure out what else, what's going to be the next.
I have to tell you, in India, about 10 years ago, I went to a spice plantation and there was a girl there and the t-shirt that she was wearing said, "In nature we trust."
Oh, I love this.
It's like, gosh, if doctors just understood that too.
Yeah, right? It's safe, effective, leveraging what we've evolved millions of years around. I mean, it's just, and like you said, some of the most effective drugs that we've had are all based on nature.
Well, you're such a cheerleader. I feel like I've been looking for you, a brain like yours. All right, three things that we can start doing right now to optimize our health.
Sleep.
Yeah.
Yeah, sleep is so important for sure. Second is everyone knows about exercise and increasingly understanding resistance training. Like find some way to put your muscles to work.
Yeah.
Because it has so many benefits that it is just as important as riding the bike and going for a run is adding in resistance training. And then I have to say C15, of course.
Of course.
I'm just making sure you're getting all of, don't be malnourished. And, us being able to provide this optimized C15 to be able to help everybody and optimize our health and longevity is an important part to everyone's routine.
Beautiful. If you could leave our listeners with one takeaway that you're most passionate about right now.
So there is a book you had mentioned at the beginning. So we have a book. Simon & Schuster reached out last summer and they said, we've been following you for a year. We've been reading the science. And they're like, this is a book. And so they, would you write the story of the discovery? So I said yes. And it was cathartic, Mona, because it was like, it's been 20 years of this whole journey. So to be able to write this book, it also helped me realize what I hope is, and of course it has all the information, all the science on C15 and all the things that, we covered here in detail, but I'm hoping that the book is just as importantly, it provides tips for longevity, but even more importantly is that it can help us help inspire others to be able to maybe even uproot ourselves a little bit to then be able to take some risks, allow accidents to happen, that we can find ourselves in a different place in which we can be even better rooted in our health. And the fact that for me, I didn't mention this earlier, but I'm actually terrified of deep water. I don't know how to swim.
What?
So the fact that I was at the Navy working with dolphins. Like if you talk about, if you talk about what uproots me, deep water. And yet, here I am, I ended up in this place, in the place that I put in my greatest fears, resulted in the ability to work with dolphins to make this discovery, and how great for it to come full circle, where then the discovery that the dolphins gave us is something that can help us live healthier, longer, so that we can all have more time to find our purpose.
Yes.
And and be able to do what we love doing. And so that's what I hope the book is it's just as inspiring to say that if a nerdy dolphin veterinarian, if these wonderful things can happen, that, it's just, we just all need to let life happen, the flow of life happen, so you can let accidents happen and find your purpose.
What a beautiful note, following the breadcrumbs until it leads you to the next aha.
That's right.
Right? Because God knows, the possibilities that are there.
Yeah.
It's just magic. Where can people find you? We're going to link everything out, but I'm sure they want to follow you. They want to follow Fatty 15.
Sure. So fatty15.com is where the supplement is. DiscoverC15.com is where we talk about all the science. We keep putting, there's probably a new paper published every 1 to 2 weeks now from around the world. And the longevity nutrients, it's on pre-sale. So it's wherever books are sold.
Fantastic.
Right now, which is great. Yeah.
Okay. I'll be sure to get that. Thank you so much for sharing everything today. Remember the power of your diet, exciting new discoveries. I'm so grateful that you shared the science behind it. It's just awe-inspiring, actually. And I can't wait to have you back.
Oh, Mona, it's been wonderful being here.
Thanks.